Could we begin the evening with a couple of songs?
Let's
Good evening to everyone. The topic this evening is time. It seemed like a fitting topic for the close of one year and the transition to the next. To lead into the topic, I thought I'd simply read a passage of Scripture that makes some reference to time, but that looks beyond time, that looks at some of the things that are more significant than a single day's passage, than what we got done in a single day, or a single year. So, I'll be reading from Psalm 119, verses 137 through 152. In this passage, the psalmist, I assume David, writes, "You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. You have appointed your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry to you, save me, that I may observe your decrees. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your words. My eyes are awake before each watch of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. In your steadfast love, hear my voice, O Lord. In your justice, preserve my life. Those who persecute me with evil purpose draw near. They are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long ago I learned from your decrees that you have established them forever." This passage is a meditation on God and on his commandments. In verse 148, the author writes that he's awake throughout the night, or multiple times throughout the night, to meditate on God's promises. In verse 152, he says he's learned that God's decrees are established forever, that God is forever. So, I'm looking forward to a meditation on time, and I'm looking forward to thinking about time in the context of what is beyond time. With that, I think we will move along to any prayer requests that you may have. What should we be praying about?
Paul, you ever said that through my sister and her two sons that we had come to Belgium to seek asylum. Mm-hmm.
Certainly. Does anyone need a repeat on that request? Okay. I should interject. I think this evening I will ask several people to pray. And David, Yutzi. Could you pray? And Joe, could you pray as well? So, the first request for Zumrat's family and their situation, their immigration or deportation situation. Other requests. Okay, so my grandmother and her continued road to recovery. Others.
For winter Bible school, the speakers.
For winter Bible school.
For us as a church, this coming year, that it would be God's will.
Okay. For Center Church, that we would be in God's will. In the coming year, I guess Elmer said specifically.
I think we ought to pray for our president.
For our president? And I suppose both the current office holder and the president elect could benefit from that in their transitions. Other requests.
Calvary Bible School is in its first week.
For Calvary Bible School. All right. So, the requests I've written down are for Zumrat's family in Lithuania, for my grandmother, for winter Bible school, for center in the coming year, for the president, and for Calvary Bible School. David, could you perhaps pray first, and then Joe? And let's go ahead and stand for prayer, those that...
We'll be looking a little bit at time this evening, and I'll try not to waste your time. But it's kind of a broad subject and a little bit, how would you say, a little bit hard to know where to go with. But I appreciated what Joel shared. I actually asked him to read that passage and... This doesn't exactly address what I'm going to be speaking about tonight, but it was something that I was interested in and wanted it to be brought out tonight. I'll maybe make just a couple more comments on that passage in Psalm 119. In ancient times, they used to have night watches that were divided into... hours from sunset until sunrise. And there was three watches consisting of about 4 hours each. The practice was that the guards were relieved after their hours since no one was expected to remain alert all night. And I'm referring here to verse 148, where he says, "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night." I'm going to I didn't have time to get everything worked out on my presentation, and so I'll skip through different things here, and I'll back up. But this is my theme verse for this evening. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And that is out of Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. What I was getting at here is the psalmist in Psalm 119 here gives the idea that he enjoys being with God in his presence, studying his ways so much that he can't even sleep at night. He's up all night through the night watches because that's how excited he is about God. I'm going to be spending a lot of time this evening looking at maybe the ways in which time has, maybe our ways of keeping track of time throughout history, and also the ways in which we can redeem time, the ways which maybe the world redeems times, and some of the differences that there should be. And but keep this verse in mind. This is the verse we will be alluding to many times throughout the evening. I will be starting here with a definition of time. The measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. A non-spatial continuum that is measured in terms of events which succeed one another from past through present to future. Let that soak in a little bit so you know what this definition is. Okay, this here, does anybody know what this is? Raise your hand if you know what this is. Looks like there's quite a few. Somebody tell me.
Big Ben.
Big Ben. Where is Big Ben located? London. All right. Well, we're going to look at some different things about clocks and the way they keep time, but I thought that was kind of a cool picture of Big Ben, so I brought him along tonight so you could enjoy that. Since we're going to be looking at time and also ways we can redeem time, I thought it might be good if we'd have a definition of redeemed. To save from a state of sinfulness and its consequences. I think we'll want to keep that in mind as well as we go through the evening. Time. Who created it? And I plan for this to be very interactive with you tonight, so I'm not doing all the talking. I want to pick your brain. God, okay. When did it begin? When was that? Huh? Time began at creation? That's what... Okay. Other ideas?
Well, is it when God starts day and night, or not? I don't know.
Cool.
I think we could probably say that one particular... the time in our universe began at creation. You could probably extend the arrow... infinity, as far as I know.
Okay. It's true that time is measurable. Eternity and infinity is not measurable. And I think there is a term in the creation story that God brought certain things and created for times and seasons, days and years. I think there's all things about time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other ideas? Okay. Sanford.
The angel in Revelation stands on the land and the sea and swears that time should be no more. I think one of the problems we often run into when we talk about time is we think of time as the passing of events, but we also understand that the end of the world isn't the end, that there will be more events after that. But it seems to be that the simplest definition is that time is this chunk of something in which we
Well, we might look at that a little more, Mom. Mom said she read a quote, she can't remember who it was, but time is the image of eternity. Okay, well, not sure what to think. We know God created it, not quite sure about some of that. Well, let's move on. Did God just say on your mark, get set, go at the beginning? Is that kind of what you all feel like by tonight? Maybe that's the way the beginning started, on your mark, get set, go. I mean, it sounds like that's kind of the idea almost. Maybe it wasn't quite that easy. That was one person's idea anyhow. This was a quote I found that don't even know who to attribute it to, but the Creator God, I believe, is the author and guarantor of the laws of science, not the gaps or the breaks in those laws. And I might come back to that later. I will move on. This is Mr. Newton here, and he had some good things to say, I thought, and I brought these along. I couldn't quite articulate what he says myself, so I will read. He is eternal and infinite. That is, his duration reaches from eternity to eternity, his presence from infinity to infinity. He is not eternity and infinity, but eternal and infinite. He is not duration or space, but he endures and is present. He endures forever and is everywhere present. And by existing always and everywhere, he constitutes duration and space, since every particle of space is always and every indivisible moment of duration is everywhere. Certainly, the Maker and Lord of all things cannot be never and nowhere. Because God is eternal, there exists an everlasting duration. And because he is omnipresent, there exists an infinite space. Absolute time and space are therefore contingent upon the existence of God. As Newton elsewhere puts it, they are emanative effects of God's existence. Thus, for Newton, the beginning of the universe does not imply the beginning of time, because prior to the moment of creation, there existed God. Infinitely enduring through beginningless ages up until that moment at which he created the world. That all make sense? Can you see why I couldn't articulate that myself? Any thoughts on this? Either one of those. I can back up, we can look at this or the other, whichever you... Any thoughts? Ollie.
Question. Is he making an issue of time began before the creation? Is that what he's saying?
What do you think?
It sounds to me like that's what he's saying.
Is that right or wrong? David.
Isn't it true that what we're doing is struggling with finite lines and struggling with infinite issues? And I think that is an impossibility of fully synchronized.
Oren.
In the sense that we use the term eternity and time as contrasts, then to me, time began at creation. Now, he's saying that in times past, it was an infinite amount of time. It's just a different way of saying it.
Sanford.
About what we do with our time
I don't come with all the answers to this stuff. I'm just stuff that I've been thinking about, and so I invite all your input on it. Well, this is Woody Allen's theory. Time is nature's way of keeping everything from happening at once. I thought that was kind of a little humor for the... I mean, there does just come a point where I think... I don't know how to put it into words, but I think there does come a point in which we cannot point to Scripture, and we can't, in our minds, rationalize to the place that we can say, this is how it was. We weren't there. Our minds don't even comprehend it exactly. And I think, while it doesn't hurt to struggle with that and think about it, I think we just have to accept what God said about time and leave it there. Maybe one thing I will think a little bit with you about, though, is that the idea was coming out from numerous of you that in the beginning God created, you know, the days and nights and maybe even somebody referred to hours. Do we have anywhere in Scripture that it refers to minutes?
God created that later.
Okay. Well, I'll let you think about that. We'll come back to that. If I don't bring it up, remind me, because I do want to interact a little on that. I'm going to switch a little bit now to talking about the ways we've tracked time throughout history. There's many different ways they have done it, but I've brought a few options to the table here. The Merkets, I don't know if that's how you say that or not. I really could not even understand how they track time with that. Was one of the earliest methods of tracking time I could find. Then there was also sun clocks or sundials, which I think most of us would be familiar with a sundial. And then there was also water clocks, which I had never heard of a water clock, but that was a... They had a bowl that had a certain amount of grooves in it, and the water would run in one side of it, I guess, and, I don't know, through a series of spiral events that it would go down and drip out the bottom, and after a certain amount of time, it basically segmented, you know, X number of hours was the idea. Then I'm going to kind of jump from all of those that were preceding the 1500 era and jump into mechanical clocks, which is kind of a big jump. But can you guys read this? Can most of you read that from there? If you can all read that, I will let you read this. As you see, his early pendulum clock had error of less than 1 minute a day, the first time such accuracy had been achieved. His later refinements reduced his clock's error to less than 10 seconds a day. That's not bad for the 1500s. I mean, that's a long time ago. Gary. Okay. around 1675, Huygens, is that how you say that, developed the balance wheel and spring assembly, still found in some of today's wrist watches. That's a tongue twister. This improvement allowed portable 17th century watches to keep time to 10 minutes a day. And in London in 1671, William Clement began building clocks with the new anchor or recoil encasement, a substantial improvement over the verge because it interferes less with the motion of the pendulum. In 1721, George Graham improved the pendulum clock's accuracy to 1 second per day by compensating for changes in the pendulum's length due to temperature variations. In 1921, the short clock almost immediately replaced Rayleigh's clock as a supreme timekeeper. In many observatories, this clock contained two pendulums, one a slave and the other a master. The slave pendulum gave the master pendulum the gentle pushes needed to maintain its motion and also drove the clock's hands. This allowed the master pendulum to remain free from mechanical tasks that would disturb its regularity. This would be a clock that I would be familiar with, and probably most of us would. I mean, I remember, I think mom's parents, don't Grandma and Grandpa Coyle have one of those? I think I remember, you know, growing up as a boy and seeing those two pendulums, and I never knew what the deal was, but there you have some information that helps with that. So, quartz clocks, and how many of you got quartz watches on today? It's like there's a number. Probably more of you have them on than you realize. But the performance of the short clock was overtaken as quartz crystal oscillators and clocks developed in the 1920s and onward. Eventually improved timekeeping performance far beyond that achieved using a pendulum and balance wheel encasements. So don't ever go out and pay $3,000 for one of them old grandfather clocks because they aren't really that great anyhow. Quartz clock operations is based on the piezoelectric property of quartz crystals. If you apply an electric field to the crystal, it changes its shape, and if you squeeze it or bend it, it generates an electric field. When put in a suitable electronic circuit, this interaction between mechanical stress and electric field causes the crystals to vibrate and generate an electric signal of relativity consisting constant frequency that can be used to operate an electronic clock display. Quartz crystal clocks were better because they had no gears or encasements to disturb their regular frequency. Even so, they still relied on a mechanical vibration whose frequency depended critically on the crystal size, shape, and temperature. Thus, no two crystals can be exactly alike with just the same frequency. Such quartz clocks and watches continue to dominate the market in numbers because their performance is excellent for their price. So we can have those. They're cheap. That's pretty cool. But the timekeeping performance of quartz clocks has been substantially surpassed by atomic clocks. And I don't know a lot about atomic clocks, but anyhow, that's some info on clocks. I thought it was kind of interesting. Since we are looking at time, I wanted to look at maybe how those things have changed in our methods of keeping track. Coming back to what I was talking about earlier, has anyone thought about any reference in Scripture to God being interested in minutes? Anybody? Sanford. Okay. What's a moment? Is it? Okay. The twinkling of an eye, and it's interesting David brings that out, was about the closest thing I could find in Scripture that refers to, in my mind, to something of an extremely short amount of time. Because we all know we can twinkle our eye pretty quick. I mean, you wink at your wife once, I think you can do that. It's pretty quick. You probably wonder where all I'm going with this. Well, I got to thinking about it. You know, we have all these different ways we've kept track of time, and we've sort of, from way back when up till now, just been improving on this and how well we can keep track of time. In fact, how many of you are aware that we're going to have, when the strike clock's 12 tonight, we're actually going to have a minute that's over a minute. It's 61 seconds, because we've got to make up for lost time for this earth slowing down. And we've got to keep track of all this. I mean, it's very important. So that happens tonight. So when you guys, if the youth groupers are doing like we used to when I was in the youth group, and you're praying the new year in, you've got to pray an extra second, because it is longer than you think. Back to where I was going with this. I keep getting sidetracked. It's Johnny's fault. The idea that God is interested in days, nights, hours, but no reference to minutes. Very little reference to hours that I'm aware of. I guess sometimes I wonder, while these things are really cool, our ways of keeping track of time, it helps us get to church on time and all the other things we do on time, or at least within so many minutes on time, whatever. I wonder if God really intended for us to be as time conscious as we are. Now, I'm going to leave that there and let you think about that a while as we go on, and I want to come back to that a little later again. This is a question. Has time started to move faster over the years? I'd be interested in your input. Okay. Joel.
Well, experientially, I think people have begun to carve their day up into smaller, into more mechanical units. Okay. I don't know that precisely.
Other thoughts. How does it feel to the rest of you? Time, is it moving faster? Or? Doesn't? Well, I'm glad somebody pointed that out. Here for a minute, I was thinking it was all hinged on how we were feeling about time. But no, that is a good point. But I will come back to Dad's point that it depends on how old you are. When I was a little kid, I can remember sitting under shade trees and stuff, twiddling your thumbs, wondering when it was going to cool off, and when you were going to get older, and when you were going to be 16, and when you were going to get your first truck. And by the way, you have to buy trucks. and all those other things. And it just seemed like it was going to take forever. And I'm, what am I, 26? 26? Yeah, 26. You kind of start losing track of time. I can't hardly believe that I have a boy that's better than 2.5 years old. Actually, he's getting real close to 3 years old. Does time move faster? Well, it might feel like it. I don't think it actually does. Anyhow, we might refer back to that again. Who can tell me what this number is? That's more than I have in my bank account, I'll tell you that. Who can tell me what that number means? Anyone want to take a guess?
That's the number of seconds in 7 years, say.
You're really good with math, Gary. I tell you, you just popped that right off. 70 years. If you live 70 years, that would be the number of seconds in which you would live. It gets more depressing. If you live 70 years, your life would consist of 25,550 days. After you use the time listed below, you will have 7.75 hours per day to use for other things. The time listed below, you figure people's supposed to sleep somewhere around 7 to 8 hours. So say you sleep 7.2 hours a day. All this depressing slot right here is sleep. Eating. Say you spend 30 minutes a day eating, which that's quite a bit. That would be this one right here. And if you spent 8 hours a day working, that would be this one right here. And say 30 minutes a day in the shower, which you should probably have a little more than that, would be this one, this little sliver here. And then reading, 46 minutes, would be this one right here. Okay, back to this thing of redeeming the time. So you can take a little over 7 hours off. That's basically, you know, you're locked down, not doing anything. You're not redeeming a whole lot with that other than some energy. Eating, well, we'll come back to that maybe later. Working, you can be redeeming the time in other ways in your work. Reading, showering, those kind of things. But let's just say, how many of you feel like you have 7 3/4 hours a day after you get all these things done left to redeem? How many of you feel that way? I'd be interested in seeing some hands. Surely most of you do. Nobody does. How many of you, at the end of the day, after you have done the basics, sleep, eat, work, shower, and read, I mean, these are the basics, things you do every day. After you've done all those things, how many of you feel like you have 7 3/4 hours left? Go ahead.
Is sleeping sort of like redeeming, because it's like rewinding your clock or refreshing your body? Maybe that's some redeeming characteristics
you can do. Okay. I will grant, however, I think in the context I'm looking at this evening, I'm going to choose redeeming in the sense of it being something conscious. When you're sleeping, you're not conscious. But I will grant that sleeping is redeeming in the sense that it's refreshing, you get energy from it, etc. But your mind is not engaged. Is that okay? I'll work with you on that though. But is there anybody that feels that way? Like you have 7 3/4 hours left? I was shocked at that number. It'd probably help if we all worked 8 hours a day and cut it off at that. That doesn't happen, does it? Where are we going wrong? Where's our time going? What are we redeeming it for? Something to think about. By the way, my program didn't exactly get edited the way I should have. This was just a graph I took off a program of mine, and I meant to take the sales out because there's really no sales in this graph. But anyhow, it's there for your enjoyment.
This pie chart, I'm struggling to catch up, but you're saying that you're not sleeping, just being redeeming the time and being nearly half, if it's just 7 hours. And how can reading or working, which is 8 hours, be so nearly half of the circle?
At 7 3/4, we're not putting it in there. This 7 3/4 up here, we've got to decide where to put that in here. See, it's not in that circle. We've got 7 3/4 hour. Brian?
There's confusion about what the chart represents. It does not represent 24 hours.
That's right. That's right. That's because there's 7 3/4 hours that aren't in the chart. Oh, my bad. I catch you, Gary. Now I'm the one that's behind the times here. Okay. I see your point. I messed up on that. I meant to correct that. Now let me think through this a little. How is that? Yeah.
It's around 72.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. I wish I had got that right, though. I meant to correct that and forgot about it.
As long as we understand, because, yeah, that was my question.
Yeah. Now, is it, can we make it clear, Lowell?
You would have three roughly equal parts between that 775 and the working and sleeping hours, and then you would have the slivers for eating, showering, and reading.
Right. But we've still got this segment of time after everything else is used up that we've got to do something with. Does that make sense? It's just a little depressing. There's that much time left over and we don't know where it went. Well, we're going to run out of time. I got to keep clipping on this here. Let's look a little bit here, just briefly, how the world used time today. Was it for good or bad? This is the world. Though we're not talking about Christians, we're talking about the world. And I will just take a moment to look at a few of the top headlines for today as to how the world was using their time. Here we go. Lawsuits seek to take God out of the inaugural. Some atheists want Barack Obama's inauguration ceremony to leave out all references to God and religion. In a lawsuit filed in Washington, the plaintiffs demand that the words, "So help me God," not be added to the end of the president's oath of office. Well, that's one of the ways that we're spending our time today. Looks like they're still having trouble getting along in Iraq. There would be another shot. I'm going to interject a little bit of humor here, but I also plan to make some serious points on this. Here's one. I'm glad I'm not in business for myself. I wasted the whole day. That was those highway guys I saw out there earlier this morning. This one here, you'll have to bear with me, but it makes a very good point. Sir, this is a fast food restaurant. That means you don't have to waste your time with eating and digesting your meal. And you can see what he's doing with it. That'll be 8 cents for the burger and the drink. A little bit of humor here, and yet I want to come back and get us back on track with the idea of thinking of redeeming the time. Whether it's your work, whether it is your eating, if it's unnecessary to be eating, you're probably wasting your time, and you're probably not redeeming it. And I say that to myself. There's times when I just go eat something for the sake of eating, and never mind, I probably should lose weight. Here's another one. You're right, boss. There may be too much idle chit-chat, but let me talk it over with my friends. These are some that maybe actually strike a little closer to home. Yeah, it's pretty easy to look at what's happening in Washington or Iraq and say, well, you know... You know, that's what you kind of expect to come from there. And yet, I think these three cartoons here might actually come closer to this sanctuary at times than what we care to admit. And these are just cartoons. I brought those in to make the harshness of them seem maybe less harsh. This is one of the coolest things. This did happen today in Boston. The flight from Europe arrived in Boston with an extra passenger on Wednesday after a woman on board gave birth somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean. Now, that's what I call making good use of your time there. That happened today. So, and transatlantic flights are pretty cool. And this is something else that happened today. Charles Barkley was arrested on suspicion of DUI. Well, that's too bad. Probably going to be a bunch of other people arrested on suspicion of DUI a little later tonight. That's how they'll be redeeming their time. In fact, today I was talking with one of my sales reps, calling, wanted to know how advertising was going and stuff, and we were going to look at advertising stuff for this next year. Anyhow, she asked what I was doing tonight, and I told her and said she was welcome to come to church. They've already got their designated drivers. They're going out and they're planning to have a good time. So Well, the sad part is there's too much of the world that's going to be redeeming their time like that tonight. Did I say redeeming? That's wasting. Okay. How do we redeem the time? This is something I want us to think a little bit about, and we're about out of time. This is Ephesians 5, 14 through 21. And I'm just going... I'm just going to read verses 15 and 16 again. I'll let you guys read these verses on your own sometime. But see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Maybe this is one way we can help each other. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I think that's an excellent way of redeeming your time. One thing I'm going to point out here is you will notice. It says up here, devote yourselves to prayer. What's it say here? Being watchful. Nowhere in Scripture do we find where Jesus says, twiddle your thumbs, waste your time, it doesn't matter till I return. He tells us to watch. And I think there's many scriptures you will find where we are instructed to be watchful for Christ's return, being mindful of it. He's coming back. And I don't know how to shut this down other than one thing I want to say is that I think if we would allow Jesus' words to be watchful, to watch for Him, to soak in more regularly, we would probably be much more careful how we redeem our time and how we use it to reach others. How did you and I use time today? Did we redeem the time, or was it wasted? I'll let you answer that for yourself. I would like to close with Matthew chapter 25. Very quickly. Well, I think maybe for the sake of time, actually, I'm just going to articulate it. It's the parable of the talents, and we all are very familiar with that. It's basically where Jesus, where they refer to giving one man, was it 10, another, was it 5, and another 2. And the one uses his 10 bucks wisely, the other does okay, and the other just goes and buries his in a hole. And maybe this is in the sense of money we're looking at in this passage. But I'm going to take that talent and suggest that our time can be the same thing. How did we take the 24 hours we had today and invest it? Did we waste it? Did we bury it? Did we throw it away? Did we throw it down the toilet? What did we do with it? It's something to think about. And I will be the first to admit But as I reflect on the last year, and I look at the ways I've redeemed a lot of my time, I'm not proud of it. And I would like to encourage you to encourage me, and I want to try to do the same for you, that we try to help each other in redeeming the time for Jesus. Are there any thoughts? I want to close. I went over time. I apologize. Thank you, and turn it back to Joel.
Let the evening conclude with that. I feel like we've been